Welcome to Bollywood is for Lovers. I'm Erin Fraser.
And I'm Matt Bowes. We are polishing our magnifying glasses and donning our deerstalkers because murder is afoot and we're on the case.
First up, Dipikar Banerjee brings 1940s Calcutta to life in 2015's Detective Byomkesh Bakshi, a slick adaptation of the popular Bengali detective series.
Then Homi Adajania takes us behind the scenes of an exclusive country club where everyone is a suspect in Netflix's Murder Mubarak, streaming now.
Before we begin, we would like to respectfully acknowledge that we record this podcast on Treaty 6 territory, home to First Nations and Métis people. Now, Matt, you've said this is the last time for a while that I'm allowed to pitch an episode centered around mysteries and detectives and murders.
Yeah, I mean, I like this stuff, but we've done a lot of it lately.
We have done a lot of it. You know why? Because everyone likes a good murder mystery. And if you don't like a good murder mystery, I question if you like stories at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I have edited two mysteries. Maybe I'll put a link in the show notes.
Sure.
But, like, part of the reason why I think I like mysteries is because it's, like, the most barest way of finding out, like, something happened, let's figure out what it was.
Yeah. And we have talked on this show at length about why we love murder mysteries, just mysteries in general, thrillers. Like, we return to these kinds of films again and again because they're some of our favorite movies to watch. And I also think they're some of the best movies that we've seen being made in Bollywood. Like, after A Romance, mm-hmm. I do think that, like, man, they do a really good murder mystery.
And gangster movies. Like, there's some genres that work really well. But we've watched... mysteries from at least the 50s.
Yeah.
And it's a genre that is done well.
Yeah. Yeah. And because of our Noirvember series that we do every November...
We've run out of things to watch.
We've gone...
In fact, we should have kept this till November, really.
No, I don't think either of these are noir, which we can discuss, since that's a recurring topic of conversation on this.
I think Byomkesh Bakshi has some noir visual elements.
I think it has some noir visual elements, but I don't think that Bakshi himself is... The character of Bakshi is in any way a noir or hard-boiled character, like, at all.
No, he doesn't even like the sight of blood or violence.
Yeah.
He's actually kind of, not a timid guy, but, like, mm-hmm. he's not a two-fisted adventurer.
Yeah. So just kind of the point that I was going to make is, because of our Noirvember series, I would say that kind of crime and mysteries and detective stories are one of the things that we've become, over the course of doing this podcast, one of the things most versed in.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it aligns with our own taste.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you probably know that, yeah, we really like a good murder mystery. And so when...
So much so that it is part of my job.
Yeah. So when Murder Mubarak dropped on Netflix, I thought, you know, with Pankaj Tripathi in the detective role, I thought this was a great time to finally discuss Detective Byomkesh Bakshi, which is a film that we both really like, but haven't watched since Sushant Singh Rajput's death. And I admit it was a film that, you know, we saw kind of early on when we started to get into Bollywood when it came out in 2015. And I think it's a film that we always wanted to discuss on the show. But like you said, it doesn't fit into our noir series. And so we just kind of kept putting it off. And then I think with Sushant Singh Rajput's death, it was tough to revisit, because I think we know that we'll never get a sequel. We'll never see him play this character again.
And he's so good.
And he's so good in it. So, you know, I'm sure we're not the only ones that kind of, you know, I think when an artist that you really like passes away, you either feel that strong pull to immediately engage with their work, or it can sometimes be too painful to engage with their work. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it felt too painful. But it's been a few years now, and I'm glad we finally rewatched it, because, God, it's so good.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It's so good.
There's only one big flaw that we'll get into.
Yeah, and it's the film that we're going to discuss first. So, again, like, we've talked at length about our love of mysteries and murder mysteries and detective stories. Is there anything you want to add to anything we've said over the years about our love of this genre?
Well, just the setting in this one. We've always found Calcutta to be kind of a city of mysteries.
No, I meant anything before we get into, like, the two movies.
Oh. No, listen. Erin's going to put links to all of our episodes on mysteries because she makes the notes. But we've gone over this extensively.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's pure page-gripping excitement. You just want to know what happens. And that's, like, just the purest form of storytelling.
Mm-hmm. I would say, like, I think, like, mysteries and crime fiction and detective fiction is certainly popular for a reason, you know, because, again, like, it has that good hook that draws you into a story and really interesting characters. What I find interesting is nowadays how popular true crime is.
Yeah.
Because I much prefer fictional crime. I much prefer, you know, the colorful characters of detective fiction, like Sherlock Holmes and Poirot and even like Philip Marlowe. Like, I like those kind of figures. And I think for me, the reason why I don't like true crime is because the murder mystery is like my favorite kind of escapism.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was actually a lot easier, because we watched this when it came out 9 years ago.
Yeah.
It was actually a bit easier not knowing some of the personnel involved in this movie the first time, because as soon as I saw Neeraj Kabi, I was just like, oh, hey, it's Neeraj Kabi. Oh, okay, I remember what happens now. Like,
yeah.
It's actually fairly easy to watch mysteries in languages you don't speak and film cultures you're not really a part of. Because you're not going to know who the most famous actor is.
Right, yeah.
And, like, you're not going to be spoiled that much, right?
If someone's being played by, like, a name, by, you know, a pretty well-known actor, you kind of know that they're going to factor into the solution. You kind of know early on that there's someone to look out for. Yeah, that there's someone important. And I would say, I guess kind of something that I don't know that we've touched on in the past in regards to these kinds of stories that I think it really factors into both of these films, is that when you have a murder mystery, you have to kind of have a certain number of characters.
Yeah.
In
otherwise, it's pretty easy to solve the mystery.
Yeah. I recently watched Throw Mama from the Train for my other podcast, Trash on the Movies, that I do with Paul Matlachek.
Crisscross, Trade Murders.
Yeah. And in that film, Billy Crystal, who's a writing teacher, makes a point to his student, played by Danny DeVito, that you can't just have two people in a murder mystery. You can't even just have three.
All of DeVito's stories were just like two guys talking to each other. Like, there was no suspense at all.
Yeah, but you have to, like, you have to have suspects. I think one thing that Gunam, which is an Agatha Christie adaptation that we've discussed as really well, is kind of like it puts this whole cast of suspects on an island together.
Mm-hmm.
However, with a film, which you kind of have a shorter scope in some respects, and it has to be more externalized. You can't internalize things. You can't, like, follow the detective in the same way that you can when you're, like, reading a murder mystery or a detective story. It can become hard for a film to give you a large cast of characters within kind of two and a half hours.
That's the problem with Murder Mubarak.
Yeah, and as an audience member, be able to kind of follow who all those characters are, give them equal weight, so that kind of the reveal becomes exciting. And yes, we will get to how that doesn't work in Murder Mubarak, but I think it does work in Detective Byomkesh Bakshi.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Bakshi, he figures it out about halfway through. It's just more like bringing the drama to its conclusion.
Yeah. Even though, like you said, this time around, I mean, because we'd seen it a couple times before, but also because we're more familiar with these actors, we did kind of peg earlier.
I did the Leo point, like, hey, isn't that Neeraj Kabi? Oh, right. He's a big deal.
Yeah. But I also get kind of swept up on it. Like, I'm always amazed how one of the films that we rewatch the most is LA Confidential. Mm-hmm. And every single time we sit down to watch that movie, I am still shocked by, like, the one character and their twist in that film. I don't want to say if you've never seen it, but my God, see all the confidential. It's amazing. And there's one character who you love so much. And then, like, that twist always, like, even though, again, I've seen her a million times.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, Detective Yonkesh Bakshi came out in 2015, directed by Dipikar Banerjee. I think this was probably the first Dipikar Banerjee film we ever saw.
It's gotta be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're big fans of Banerjee's work. We'd really like to see that movie that he's made for Netflix that appears to have been shelved.
Because of political cowardice?
Yes. Yeah. We can link in the show notes about that. I think at this point we've seen all of his films, but his first one, because we were going to watch it, and then it was ripped from Netflix. So
Costa Cagosa?
Yeah. Yeah. So we still need to catch up with that one. But yeah, we're big fans. It stars Sachin Singh Rajput, Anand Tiwari, Neeraj Kabi, Divya Menon, Swastika Mukherjee, and Mei Young Chang. It is based on the Detective Yonkesh Bakshi stories by Bengali writer Sharadindu Bandopadhyay. Apologies to all of our Bengali and all of our listeners out there. I'm not that familiar with how to pronounce Bengali names. So just kind of a short segue about these stories. Bandopadhyay first started writing them in 1932. The first one is Sachyan Weshi.
Which means like the inquisitor. He doesn't want to be known as a detective.
Truth seeker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants to be like, it's more of a spiritual calling of the guy who figures things out rather than, you know, yeah, private detective.
Yeah. And he wrote 32 of them, and they were published until his death in 1970.
And I've read a few of them. I got them
right
here.
Yeah, you have a few of them. They were given to us by a friend, or this collection.
Well, I traded him a book. I've read four of them. The Menagerie, The Jewel Case, The World That Vanished, and The Quills of the Porcupine, which is in The Menagerie and Other Yonkesh Bakshi Mysteries from Penguin India in 2006.
So you haven't read the one that Yonkesh Bakshi is based on, because Detective Yonkesh Bakshi is based on this first one from 1932, yeah.
And it was unclear how many of them are actual novels and how many of them were short stories, so I'd have to do some more reading on that.
Mm-hmm. These stories have been adapted many times into radio, audio dramas, video games, TV, and of course, movies.
And there's like a TV show going right now, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The first film adaptation came out in 1967. It's directed by Satyajit Ray. It's titled Chiriakana.
Which is what The Menagerie is.
Oh, okay.
That's the first one in this book, so
I'd like to see
that. I would
that.
Also like to see that movie.
Yeah.
And now that I've read the book, I mean, I think, you know, it's just always fun to compare.
Yeah, I don't know if that one is one of the Rays that's available on Criterion, but I should look into tracking that one down. Mm-hmm. We have some of the Rays that are in the Criterion Collection, but not that one.
We just have Panta Panchali and
we have The Big City.
No, we have The Hero. I don't think we have The Big City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember all our Criterions. Since that film, there have been 19 more adaptations, which this is one. And as I said, this film is based on Sachyan Weshi, the first Bakshi story. So you've read some Yonkesh Bakshi. So do you want to tell us a bit about the character, and about the stories?
Well, the thing I can say that's kind of interesting about him is that he grows up.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the first one, he's in his 20s, and as Sachyan Singh Rajput plays him, like he's just graduated school, he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, he gets married, he like has a family.
So it's actually sort of like Dick Tracy, because in the comics, Dick Tracy eventually marries, Tess Trueheart, I think
Tess
her name
Trueheart,
is?
Tess Trueheart, yeah.
And then they adopt Dick Tracy Jr., and then eventually he retires, and Dick Tracy Jr. takes over in the comics. So it's kind of nice in that he's not frozen in time as like just this character like Batman, for instance, where they always have to keep revitalizing him or doing something else. Like in the text, he does kind of get old, and you know, it just changes the way that he interacts with the murders and the mysteries and the stealing and everything. So I thought that was kind of cool. And he's a very like cerebral guy, not a hard-boiled guy, as you suggested. Mm-hmm. He's more in the kind of vein of, what do they say, Chesterton's Father Brown, I think. He's largely modeled on Sherlock Holmes and Father Brown, even though Sherlock Holmes wasn't afraid of throwing down sometimes and shooting people and getting into brawls and stuff, but that's not really Bakshi's style. He might, like, have to stop someone with a knife at the end of his story, but he's not really busting heads. He's more cerebral.
But I think in the film you can see a strong comparison to Sherlock Holmes. There's a character named Ajit, played by Anand Tiwari, who is very much like his Watson. He's the one that narrates many of the stories, though from what I understand, not all of them.
And he likes, well, he doesn't like it, but he gets into fights.
Yeah, he's kind of like, yeah, the Watson to the home. To the Holmes character, right?
And the disappearance of his father is kind of the initiating action of his story.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can kind of see, I think, comparisons to Holmes. But Holmes never really had, like, a family. Like, he never really ages. He's just kind of always... there is that movie where Ian McKellen plays an elderly
but in Sherlock the actual
they're very Doyle serialized stories. They don't in the Arthur Conan Doyle stories, like, they don't necessarily have like a strong chronology. It's just kind of here's another new adventure from Holmes.
And Doyle wanted to kill him off
with
the Reichenbach Falls and him and Moriarty fighting there, but then people got so mad that he had to bring him back, which is the origin of every, you know, fanboy, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Like what happened with Mass Effect and stuff like that. Like complaining until you get your way. So truly, like, the Victorians were doing that. The Victorians were the first gamers, I think.
I was reading that there was a time that Bandiyopadhyay didn't want to be writing Bakshi stories.
And it seems like he did a lot of other stuff too.
Yeah. But just kind of, from what I understand, not having read any of the stories like you have, while you can kind of see some similarities to the way that, like, the Sherlock Holmes character works and the way that those stories are told, one of the big differences with Bakshi is that kind of he has a chronology and ages over this period of, like, the 1930s to the 1970s and has a family.
He marries Divya Menon, even though that doesn't really come up at all in the movie.
Yeah. Well, the movie feels so much like it's setting up a series. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
It's
not the typical, like, annoying origin story or something. Yeah. Like, he doesn't, you know, find a magnifying glass on the... Or something breaks through his window and it's like, Father, I will become a bat. That doesn't happen to him.
But obviously you haven't read all 32 stories, but of the ones you've read, would you recommend them?
Yeah, I enjoyed them.
Yeah.
It does seem like kind of, you know, Penguin India is putting it out, but I haven't really seen these in stores in Canada so much.
Yeah,
so it does kind of feel like it's kind of untapped territory for Canadian readers.
Yeah, because I've started to read the Kosuke Kendachi detective novels, which are Japanese detective stories that date back to the 1940s. Again,
and that's what Johnny John was based on? No, that's the Devotion of Suspect X.
Yeah,
so you read those two?
Yes.
Or you read one of them?
Yeah, no, these date back to the 1940s, written by Seishi Yokomizo, and like... In the same way that we could kind of call Detective Byomkesh Bakshi the Indian Sherlock Holmes, again, that's simplifying things, you could call Kendachi the Japanese Sherlock Holmes. And so these are kind of classic detective stories that, again, like, there's a long-running series of them.
Most cultures have one, I would say. Yeah. Most countries, they just have kind of... So, like,
but there's these really beautiful new, like, paperback translations of these.
Yeah, I think it's Pushkin Press.
Yeah.
Like, that's a small press putting those out, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is Penguin. I mean, Penguin has the worldwide reach. They could do it if they want to.
Yeah. I'm just saying that. And Yash Raj owns the adaptation rights, I believe, for all of the stories outside of Bengali. Like, so they own the adaptation rights for all of the stories and languages other than Bengali.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, they bought them all, I guess, with hopes of making more movies.
If you're wondering who the Canadian equivalent to Sherlock Holmes is, it's Murdoch Mysteries. I don't know Murdoch's first name, or is that his last name? I'm not sure. But Murdoch Mysteries is a...
Are all the, like, two-pine fan? Three pines? How many pines are there? Whatever.
It's three
puns. Are they all mad now that you said that?
The Louise Penny fans?
Yeah.
I don't know. Murdoch Mysteries is just a kind of cheesy show that's been on for years and has had two different prime ministers on it.
Yeah.
And it's... Yeah, it's like a medical examiner guy in Ontario.
Yeah.
I've watched about 10 minutes of it. I think it's boring. The real Canadian Sherlock Holmes equivalent is probably Louise Penny's Inspector Gamache. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Anyways, all of this is to say that we came at this film initially without any knowledge of Byamkesh Bakshi.
No. And we still barely have any.
Yeah, and we still barely have any. Yeah. So, but we recognize that there is a legacy to this character.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you need to know anything about Byamkesh Bakshi to enjoy this film.
No, it would actually make a lot more... It would be more useful if you knew the history of the Second World War in India.
Right,
and also kind of how the opium trade works, because is a lot more prevalent in the book than anything having to do with like Bakshi's legacy.
Yeah, so interestingly, the story is from the 1930s, but the film is set in the 1940s.
Yeah, and as I understand it, the whole thing with the Japanese is like kind of put in for the movie, and it's to make it more of like a political thriller as well.
Yeah. And the film was critically acclaimed. And there were talks of a sequel. Unfortunately, as we said, that won't happen due to the tragic loss.
I mean, I'd still happily watch one. It's just, you know, you'd have to find someone who could do the job as well or do a different kind of reboot. I mean, I'm sure... I think the Bengali show is on Hotstar, and I've been actually meaning to watch it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The newest one. Between this and Jagajasus, like... It will. It makes me sad that, like, I love that we have these one movies.
Yeah, but they should be three or four.
Yeah, but there's just such a franchise opportunity that I think would be really satisfying. But, you know, it is what it is. Okay, Matt, why don't you set up the plot for us?
Okay, so Byamkesh Bakshi is kind of hanging around a university, and he gets asked by Ajit to see if he could find his father, who he said was a scientific genius or a chemistry genius or something.
Mm-hmm.
And in investigating where this guy's dad went, he was in love with a girl, but she's getting married to someone else. So he's just like, I guess I'm going to look into this. He's basically moved into this boarding house owned by Niraj Kabi.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a collection of interesting guys who are at this house. And apparently in the books, Bakshi and Ajit move into that house that's their 221B Baker Street.
Yeah.
And the Punti Ram, the kind of helper guy, like he's in the books too.
Yeah. You can see them, like, again, even without knowing these characters and the legacy of these stories, you can kind of just, there's an aura about things. You know, there's kind of, it's presented in a way like when he gets to the boarding house, like, this is the place.
And, well, he hits his head on a thing.
Yeah, and that relationship that he develops with Ajit. And then, like, and then at the end, like, him and Divya Menon, like, you can just kind of, you can see putting all the building
blocks.
But
it's not hitting you over the head with it.
No.
Even though he does hit himself over the head as soon as he enters the building.
Yeah.
But he gets mixed up in this kind of big-time conspiracy, because he's looking for a Bhuvan, who's the dead guy. Oops. That doesn't matter.
You don't know. You know who the...
This book is
You know who's been murdered.
This book is 90 years old. I'm not going to spoiler warn you.
You know who's been murdered.
Yeah, so Ajit's dad has been murdered, but there's a whole other big conspiracy going on.
Yeah.
Having to do with the fact that this takes place in 1943 as opposed to 1932.
Yeah.
Because there's some elements in Bengali society who want to ally with the Japanese, who are bombing Calcutta. They didn't hit Howrah Bridge, though.
Yeah.
We saw the bridge. It was still fine. They mentioned the bridge.
Anytime you're watching a movie set in Calcutta, you can play a drinking game with, like, how many times you see Howrah Bridge, how many times Howrah Bridge is mentioned.
They love the bridge.
You know what? I love the bridge.
It seems like a pretty cool bridge.
Because I'm very fond of the bridge. You know,
I even like the movie Howrah Bridge.
Yeah. I finally saw Golden Gate Bridge. Next important bridge I want to see in life is Howrah Bridge.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. But anyway, Bakshi, in addition to having to solve this murder, he meets Swaskin Mukherjee, who's a Bengali film actress, mm-hmm. and then there's her rich boyfriend, and there's a whole political element going on. So there's a lot of stuff that he's got to keep straight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he figures it out.
Yeah. It's a very compelling murder mystery, I think, for a number of reasons. First and foremost, this cast is fantastic.
Yeah.
Neeraj Khabi is perfection. That character, again, without spoiling things, he gets to do a lot throughout the film. Mm-hmm. By the end, he's chewing the scenery, and it's a delight to watch. Sushant Singh Rajput, I think, like, this is probably my favorite performance of his.
Either that or a Sancheria.
Yes, I do. I might like...
You don't know a lot about that.
Yeah, I might like Sancheria better as a film, but I think I like this performance the best from Sushant Singh Rajput. Mm-hmm. I first saw him in Shah Disney Romance, and
he's great in that too.
I really fell in love with that movie. And then this, I think he just, like, you know, like, he... When I first saw him, he was such, you know, a modern, kind of young, 20-something... kind of character that, you know, I immediately related to. But here, you know...
He pulls off the look of a 40s guy.
Yeah, really, like, well, this 40s detective. Like, there's such a kind of... There's a real kind of nerdiness to him, but also a poignancy to him. And just, yeah, like, his commitment to finding the truth and to his investigation and that over kind of like this distaste for violence. He hates the sight of blood. It's a really great character, and I think he really the film really kind of lives and dies on whether or not he's able to pull this character off, and he really does.
Yeah.
The whole supporting cast is fantastic. I think the setting is wonderful. You know, we are always really drawn to Bollywood films set in Calcutta because, well, they're often mystery films.
Which we like.
There's often kind of something, there's something going on. Like, the streets of Calcutta are full of
secrets.
It's like
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Like, for classic horrible detective. It's,
yeah.
That's kind of... There's corruption and setting it during the colonial era. There's extra bit of interest there.
I think the 1940s setting, while, you know, differs from the novel, I think it gives everything this, like, texture, right?
Mm-hmm.
The word I use all the time is just kind of this... The city is, and we oftentimes say this in a lot of our favorite films set in Calcutta, the city is like a character itself in the film.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, and Bakshi and the city feel so connected throughout that I think that is really appealing. It has such a sense of time and place and personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Banerjee shoots it, yes, sometimes with some very noir aesthetics, though I still wouldn't call this noir, but his use of shadow is really fantastic, the way he uses lighting throughout. I do have one complaint, though.
I have three complaints.
Okay. Well, you know what my big complaint is.
The music.
I hate the music. Yeah. There's a lot of English in the soundtrack, which I don't think fits the setting and the time period.
Yeah.
Also, the music is very anachronistic at times.
Yeah.
And
the one song that does fit, Calcutta Kiss, which we'll play a little bit of it, there should have been a dance number.
Yeah.
Like, he should have gone... He actually even goes to a party to try and talk to, like, the colonial head of Calcutta at the time. There should have just been, like, a dance number there.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was a budgetary thing that they didn't do it, but it should have been, like, a Bombay Velvet type, like...
Yeah.
Or Rangoon type number, right?
Yeah.
The movie's already pretty long, but, like, that would have added something.
Yeah, the music,
Or Jubilee. There's so many instances that this has been done really well in.
Yeah, the music doesn't fit for me. It's my one big complaint with the film.
Yeah, that was two of my complaints, because, yeah, music's not great, and then also it's missing kind of a knockout number.
Right.
And also, it's actually quite violent. Like, There's a lot of people who would be interested in this because it's like a 40s detective.
Yeah.
But you got guys getting their eyeballs scooped out and blood splattering all over the place. Like, it goes a bit harder than I think people are expecting. And again, I read the book maybe a year ago. Harder than I remember the book going.
It's a level of violence that feels out of scope with the rest of the film, too.
Yeah, it should be in Grindhouse or something.
Yeah.
Or a 70s, like, Sholay.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And even though, like, I still really like some of those scenes, especially because, again, like, Neeraj Kapi's, like, really going for it. And I think that's really fun to watch. However, it does feel disconnected from the rest of the film.
We got a Chinese, like, Tong guy with his eyeballs scooped out and now his eyelids are sewn shut.
Yeah.
Like it's out of Hellraiser basically. Like that's the kind of feels weird, and I'm assuming probably also isn't in the story.
It just kind of puts the tone of things.
The tone's all over the place.
I wouldn't say it's all over the place. I just think it becomes a bit disconnected with both some of these music, like some of these songs that are incorporated.
It's like new metal too. Like it's even 20 years late, well, maybe 15 years late for that kind of music style.
Yeah. And it's not like the music isn't really incorporated really well into kind of like songs throughout the film. They just kind of get dropped there, usually during like a bit of a montage sequence. And again, like there's a lot of English in them, which just feels
it's just weird
modern, and it's not like English like you would hear in 1940s. Like they feel too modern. And then again, I think there's a disconnect with the tone of the rest of the film. And these action scenes, again, it feels like there's a disconnect with the tone of the rest of the film. I don't think the tone of the entire film is all over the place, but I think these two elements just kind of are in, they feel like they're in a different movie at times.
Yeah.
Even though I think the action looks really good and is really well shot and has a lot of style to it. It's just
weird.
There's a level of kind of, not brutality, because I think like, Some of the corpses that you see and some things, I think there's a brutality to that that really fits with the picture.
Well, and it also gives Bakshi like opportunities to try not barf because he doesn't like the sight of blood. So there's got to be blood all over the place in order for this aspect of his character to come out.
It's not necessarily the violence. I think it's the action. There's some choreographed action that does get very violent. That feels a little out of scope.
It feels misjudged.
Yeah, and also feels out of scope with regards to kind of otherwise what I think the audience for this film or an audience I think that there is for this film would want. Because, like, it goes further than your typical Holmes or Poirot, which is fine, but it just gets to, like...
Like, do you think your mother would like this picture? Because she loves mysteries. But also, it's maybe a bit more violent than she's used to. Oh, well, but we did go see Monkey Man.
Yeah, my mom wanted to see Monkey Man, and she didn't have an issue with the violence there. But the violence there is like tonally consistent throughout the film. Whereas this feels a bit like, you know, there's elements of this film that remind me of a lot of Korean films we've seen.
Yeah.
And we've seen...
Over-the-top violence and...
Well, and we've also seen Korean films, like, set during this time period, like, during the Japanese occupation of...
Oh, yeah, what was that one called?
Of Korea.
Was it called Occupation or Insurrection or something like that? It was just, like, a resistance movement against Japan, and that was a great movie.
Yeah, and then there's, like, I know the one you're talking about, and I don't remember the name of it.
It was a one-word title.
Yeah, and then there's, like, Age of Shadows.
Yeah.
Obviously, The Handmaiden is set during this time. And maybe when I think about it more in that vein, the violence makes more sense.
Although I would not say that the imminent invasion by Japan is like that big a part of the story. Like it's kind of lurking in the background, but like I don't think you see any Japanese people apart from the one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see a lot of Chinese people because they're running the opium gang, but like you don't see the Japanese army like checking their watches. Like, can we invade now?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, I like to think that a sequel would have like really ironed out these two things.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like I think what we have is a fantastic.
Oh yeah, movie. I love this movie. It's four out of five stars easily. Yeah. It's just like it would have been an all timer if the tone was more consistent and the music was not so weird. And like you got a nice. You got a Swastika Mukherjee, who's supposed to be this super hot actress, and she's very attractive in the movie. She's got like a that kind of Tweety Bird look that I like.
And the next time we saw her, this like
she was in Tata Look, I think.
No, the next time we saw her was Dil Bechara.
Yeah,
where she's playing Sushant Singh Rajput's girlfriend's mom.
Yes, that's weird. But like
drives me crazy. And then she is in Path of Luck, and isn't she married to Neeraj Kavi?
I believe so.
We really like Swastika Mukherjee.
But like, it's just a missed opportunity that she's not doing some big musical number. I'm guessing that's a budgetary thing, though, because they even recorded the song. That's the weird thing. It's like, it's not like they didn't have a song. They got a great song, Calcutta Kiss, which we're going to play in a second.
Yeah, and we do get kind of like a background scene. Or not a background scene. We do get a like behind the scenes scene of her on a film set where she is filming a song. Like,
yeah
you could have given us more of a song.
I mean, we're just spoiled by Jubilee, which did that so well.
Yeah. She's quite good. I mean, she's primarily in Bengali projects, but I would love to see her in more.
Swastika Mukherjee is unfortunately a name that's not going to travel well a lot of places. I'm just putting it out.
Well, yeah, not necessarily to the Western world.
Yeah, Swas, call her Swas.
But she's a fantastic actress. In the three things that we've seen her in, I think we've liked her every time.
Mm-hmm.
Even though again, like she gets nothing to do with Dil Bechara, but that's not her fault.
That's just paycheck.
Yeah, and she has, man, she's got like this really dark, very red lipstick in this film, and just like
even I noticed that
these part like this perfect like
she's got the 40s look down. She looks like Betty Boop.
Yeah, and just like and she has, kind of the climactic scene at the end where. Bakshi kind of lays all the cards on the table. All she's asked to do is react.
Yeah.
And just like watching her face react to everything, like it's fantastic. I love it.
Another very sexy scene. She calls Bakshi into her dressing room where she's in a bathtub. She's like, yeah, can you light me a cigarette? And then he has to like put it in her lips and then pull it out again.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. She oozes sex appeal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. So, yeah.
Much more so than Divya Menon, who I think maybe has, like, 10 lines.
Yeah.
She does not really have a lot to do. And we didn't get the sense that, like, oh, yeah, they're going to get married.
Yeah.
So, they could have, yeah. It may be one of those things where she's, like, a recurring character in the books. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But, again, I love this movie a lot. I'm picking it apart because it's, like, so close to being perfect.
Yeah.
There's so many other movies that just have so many flaws that you can't really point them out. But this one is just, like, there's a few, like, really big ones.
Yeah.
But apart from that, it's just really well done.
We watched it on Amazon Prime. Kind of over the years, we've seen it kind of be available and then disappear from streaming and become available again. So hopefully it's available if you haven't seen it for you. And also my quick Google search.
I would buy this on Blu-ray, honestly. Yeah, I would too. Like it would be a good one to have in around.
And my quick Google search tells me that the Satyajit Ray Detective Vyomkesh Bakshi film is also on Amazon Prime under the title The Zoo.
The Menagerie. Yeah, that makes
so,
sense.
So once we're done recording this episode, we should go check out if that has decent subtitles. Because maybe that would make a good double bill. But unfortunately, that's not the double bill we've chosen for this episode. So before we get to our second film, Matt, do you want to tell us what we're listening to for interval?
Okay, we're listening to Calcutta Kiss from this movie. It's
the best song in the film, I think.
It's you kind of have to imagine what the stage show would be.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like one of those big 40s, you know, razzle dazzle type numbers.
Sure.
All right, so that was Calcutta Kiss from Detective Byakesh Bakshi. We didn't talk about the exclamation point. I think that's weird, too. Movies with punctuation in them, not a good idea.
They changed the spelling of Bakshi from an I to a Y.
Yeah. But that might be localization for Hindi speakers, but...
Or they might have just punctuation thought it looked
in a
better.
Movie title? Weird.
You don't like it? What about Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret?
That one's okay, but like,
you
dude,
need a comma, Anna. Anna, question mark.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if exclamation points should be in it. Listomania, did that have a exclamation point?
Oh my God, I don't think so.
Yeah, and it's weird.
Okay.
It kind of breaks the way that you think about titles. Do you know what title does not have an exclamation point in it? Nor does it need one?
Murder Mubarak.
Murder Mubarak.
Yeah.
Okay, so this came out 2024 in March. Mm-hmm. Directed by Homayada Jania, who is typically one of our guys.
Yes, but, I quite like Homayada Jania. He did Being Cyrus and...
Finding Fanny
and Cocktail... and Sass Bahu or Flamingo.
Yeah, we like that.
And I think, especially with Being Cyrus, like, he knows his way around like, a mystery and a crime picture.
I mean, Being Cyrus is more on the noir spectrum.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, like, he should be doing better at this. But I think that this one got away from him just because there's, like, 20 characters.
Right, yeah.
So some of those characters include Pankaj Tripathi as our main guy. Sarah Ali Khan.
He's our detective. He's an ACP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vijay Varma. Charisma Kapoor coming back to the screen.
Yes, I think that was the thing that I was most excited for with this film is Charisma Kapoor hasn't been in a movie for a really long time. Mm-hmm. We often talk about how much we like her, especially in Papi Gudia. And so I...
It can't be half an hour on this podcast can't go by without mentioning Papi Gudia.
Look, she's really good in it. Like,
some might say that she's the best part of Papi Gudia.
Yes. Yes. But I think, like, her casting was notable and exciting.
Yeah. Deepika Padhi is also in this.
Who's
also
in a lot of Homayada Jania films. Yeah.
And Sanjay Kapoor.
Yeah.
I always like Sanjay Kapoor. He's a annoying rich dick.
I do, too. Sanjay Kapoor is becoming kind of quietly one of my favorite actors in Bollywood. Who?
He's the Wario to Anil Kapoor's Mario.
Okay.
They have a similar sort of head shape and that kind of helmet of hair.
Okay.
But Sanjay Kapoor is usually a dick, and Anil Kapoor is usually a good guy.
Yeah.
This is based on a novel called Club You to Death by Anuja Chauhan.
Yes.
Who wrote The Zoya Factor.
Yes, she also wrote The Zoya Factor. I don't know much about her aside from that she wrote the book that The Zoya Factor was based on.
And I remember that movie being okay.
Yeah. It was fine.
One of the main problems with this movie is that we don't care about the dead guy. Mm-hmm. The first dead guy.
Yeah.
Like, unfortunately, in a movie about rich people, you can't kill the help.
Yeah.
Because no one cares.
Yes. So, this feels... The trailers kind of made it seem kind of like an Agatha Christie type thing.
Or Glass Onion.
Yeah.
Slash Knives Out.
Or a Glass Onion. Or a Nyat type thing. I think
Nyat does a better job.
Yeah, I did spend a lot of time while we watched this film thinking about how much I liked Nyat more.
When's Nyat going to show up? Is she going to solve this mystery?
But the basic premise is it's set at this kind of elite country club. And one of the personal trainers at the club has been murdered. And so
Presumably.
So Pankaj Tripathi plays a detective. As I said, he's an ACP who kind of has to untangle the truths and the lies among the country club's members, all these very privileged elite members, and their staff to figure out what's really going on. And Sarah Ali Khan kind of immediately jumps in to kind of help him navigate this world that she's grown up in and that she's very attached to.
She's very fond of the people at the club.
Yes.
Even though they're a bunch of dicks.
Yeah. She plays a young widow who's kind of had a bit of a flirtation her entire life with Vijay Varma, who plays a lawyer who's kind of been away for years and is back in town.
His mom called him a communist.
Yeah. Sanjay Kapoor and Karishma Kapoor are both kind of vying to be like the new club president. So there's a bit of like an election going on.
But not really. The they could have done more with that.
Yeah, they probably could have done more with that. Dipal Kapadia.
Like, for instance, the guy who got killed has nothing to do with the election. So then we're not.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really think it's either of them.
And Karishma Kapoor is she's a starlet.
Yeah.
She's a movie.
I think she's old enough to just be a star.
She's a movie actress.
She's not an ingenue anymore.
Yeah, that's fair. Dipal Kapadia wears giant glasses and makes like
she's
really,
like a local gossip?
Yeah, makes really gaudy busts. Yeah. I really liked that character. There's another guy who has a crush on Sari Ali Khan who's like a drug addict. And his mom is always trying to cover stuff up. Like, there's a very large...
Like, 25 characters.
Yeah, there's a very large cast of characters. And I think, unfortunately, the film does not do a good job of making you care about any of them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a problem anytime you have a film that is about a bunch of unforgivable rich people.
Yeah. You at least either have to, like, remember something about them.
Yeah.
Or find them funny.
Yeah.
Or even just kind of like them. And I don't, there aren't that many in this that were that memorable.
Yeah.
And I called the, well, I called some of the crime.
You
right
called
away.
Some of the crime. But it's
that, who's the famous person in the movie?
Right.
That's always a problem in a mystery.
Yeah. Even though, I mean, like, this is a pretty stacked cast.
That's
with
why
regards
I'm not
fame.
Saying anything else. So
yeah, in regards to notable actors. But I think. It doesn't do enough with its kind of class politics. I think that's one thing that really makes kind of the recent Rian Johnson hits Knives Out and Glass Onion really work, because I think he really understands how to play with class.
And also, everyone hates rich people.
Everyone does hate rich people.
So we don't feel bad if someone murders them.
We also really enjoy... the escapism of kind of wealth and privilege.
We enjoy it, but we also like seeing these people brought low.
Yeah.
Which you get a little bit of in this, but they're also not on the same level of wealth either.
But Niat does, I think, a much...
Niat does a good job.
Yeah, it does a much better job with regards to kind of, I think it's class politics.
Yeah.
Because again, there, yes, you really hate all these rich people and you really like seeing them brought low. And I think also... I don't remember the name of Vidya Balan's detective in that film, but she's a much more interesting character than Pankaj Tripathi.
Well, she's really shy.
You know there's something going on with her.
Yeah,
and you can't
there's something with her. She doesn't talk that much. She's kind of intimidated by all these people,
yeah.
And then that kind of expands. Whereas Pankaj Tripathi is just kind of charmingly eccentric the whole movie.
Yeah, like he's, you know, there's this
thing. He doesn't know how to drive.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to drive. There's this thing where he's going to be moving, like he's getting transferred right after this. He is like very observant, and I think ultimately kind of when he reveals, I think that's one thing that people love about like a classic detective story is when the detective like reveals.
Puts everyone in a room and explains everything.
Yeah, like
Bakshi does the same thing.
Yeah. That is such a, that's such a delicious scene. Or I think about like in The Thin Man when like everyone gets brought to the dinner party.
Yeah, serve,
so,
serve
like,
please serve the nuts. I mean, I serve the guests the nuts.
Yeah, I just,
yeah.
I.
What's he working on? What, it's a case? What is a case of scotch? Let me in on that.
It's such a, like, I mean, it's a cliche.
How come there isn't a Bollywood version of the goddamn Thin Man?
I don't know.
I was appalled by Johnny Depp presumably was going to make one, and he was just screwed up entirely. But, I don't know. They haven't been in a movie together in a while, but where is Deepika Padukone and Ranveer Singh?
That's who you want to be, Nick and Nora Charles?
I think they'd be amazing.
Okay.
Don't you think? Like, you could think of a more correct pairing, but if you just want, like, the romantic mystery-solving couple, I think they'd be awesome.
I would need to think about it. Yeah, I think William Powell and Myrna Loy are, like, incredibly big shoes to fill. I guess I see...
Listeners, let us know who you would pick.
I guess I see Deepika Padukone more than I see Ranveer Singh. I'd like to see Vicky Kaushal do it.
See, he's too young.
I don't think so.
I think And I think Ranveer Singh's probably around the same age as Deepika, but, like, there has to be a little bit of an age difference because he has to have had, like, a whole career being a detective. And then he gets married, and he's hopefully going to loaf off and not do any work, and then his wife keeps dragging him into these damn
mysteries. Okay, so, like, who's the best screwball comedian in Bollywood?
Best screwball comedian in Bollywood. Okay, I would have said young Vidya Balan. She would be amazing as Nora.
Right.
But she's not really in that mode anymore.
Yeah.
She could have done a good job on it.
I like how this has just become us fantasy casting.
It's because Murder Mubarak is not very good.
Kind of think Pankaj Tripathi might be able to do it.
Pankaj Tripathi, if he had the right material and was being like a suave, cool guy instead of like just a nerdy cop, maybe. Or,
I kind of think Ranveer Singh is too handsome.
William Powell's incredibly handsome.
But it's a different kind of handsome. I get, maybe he, Ranveer Singh is very funny. Maybe he could do it.
They have to be kind of dry humor.
Yeah.
Vijay Verma, maybe, too. He's good as
Vijay
well.
Verma could
and
be
And he was good as a detective in Johnny John, right?
And he was very funny in OK Computer.
And he's good in Darlings, too, somewhat being disreputable.
Yeah.
Which Nick has to have a little bit of.
Yeah. Let Vijay Varma do it.
Vijay Varma, and then a female co-star who they could have, like, good interactions and argue a lot, but also they like each other a lot.
Katrina Kaif. She's a fantastic comedian.
She would be great. Nora's not, like, dumb.
No.
And she's not like a klutz, but she overestimates herself a lot of the time and usually gets Nick shot or beaten up or something.
Yeah. And then,
I don't know who plays the dog.
Tuffy can come back as Asta.
It would be amazing if Tuffy could come back, but I have news for you. I don't think that dog is still alive. Okay. That movie was like 25 years ago.
I do love the cliche.
You can get the dog from, Dildo Dacanedo.
Okay.
Pluto?
Yeah.
Astro? Pluto.
Yeah, I think one of the joys about like detective fiction is that you always feel like the detective is one step ahead of you as the reader or the audience member.
And that's why there's usually someone who's there to be told all the stuff that happens, and that's what Sarah Ali Khan does.
Yeah, that's why there's often that character, that everyman character, so that the detective can explain their genius to them, and the fun, you know, any good mystery, part of the fun is like trying to solve the mystery yourself.
And I like it when they play fair.
Yeah.
And I think this one basically does.
But the fun is kind of like comparing yourself to the detective.
Yeah.
And I do think like again, Pankaj Tripathi just doesn't necessarily get enough to do. He certainly shines, especially in like that climactic scene where he lays it all out.
Yeah.
And he's Pankaj Tripathi. He has personality. Yeah. He has the range.
But I think in this one we're kind of just like enjoying our past experiences of Pankaj Tripathi. Yeah. I really couldn't tell you anything about this character.
Yeah, I think here they needed to center Pankaj Tripathi more as the lead character.
Yeah.
And the focus
Sarah Ali Khan is basically the
lead character. Like the focus is just kind of all over the place. We spend a lot more time with Sarah Ali Khan than I necessarily
and
think
Vijay Verma
we
too.
Need to. Vijay Verma's quite good here too.
He's good, but like
and I think
he shouldn't be as big of a character in a mystery when he's a suspect.
I think that's my issue with this film is I think if the focus were on Pankaj Tripathi's detective,
and
I would
and maybe
like
Sarah Ali Khan tagging along, but there's most of the movie is her doing stuff on her own.
He also has
he has his own guy, but
he has his own guy.
That guy, I do like how Pankaj Tripathi kind of like when he wants to impart some sort of moral.
Yeah.
He talks about his assistant guy having dealt with some other crime. He's like, okay, so you know my buddy here, he had to solve this thing where this guy got hit by a car, and he had to deal with this and this. And that guy's just sitting there too, like so like he's kind of using him as a moral instruction tool. I like that.
Yeah.
But on the whole, I don't know. Too many main characters. You could have 20 characters in your movie, but like, you have to have one really important main one, as opposed to about four in this.
Yeah, I think like ultimately this film was not bad, but it does feel like a straight to streaming release. You know, it's just kind of a little mid, and I think was a little disappointing for us considering the star power of the cast How much we like this director.
And his last TV show was really good.
Yeah.
For streaming.
I think we wanted more out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it was like, this is fine. Like, I would still recommend it to people. Like, it was still a fun movie.
You're right about Ranveer Singh being too handsome.
Yeah.
They should be in Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Okay.
The Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie.
Oh, you know what I just realized? You know who could do Nick Charles?
Who?
Manoj Bajpayee.
Manoj would be great.
He'd be so good.
He's a little old for it, so maybe have an age-appropriate Nora.
Yeah.
Because, like, they have to be pretty close to each other.
Yeah.
But he's a little bit older. He'd be great.
He'd be great.
And I would love to see him in, like, a tux. He never gets to wear, like, super fancy clothes in the movies.
Yeah, but I think also you could totally believe that, like, he's had, like, a history as a detective and...
He's gone through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. I don't know. How old are Nick and Nora Charles? I think they're totally believable as, like, early 40s. Like, it doesn't matter.
I think she's mid-30s and he's, like, early 40s.
Yeah, that's totally within Manoj Bajpayee's range.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be great.
Who would the girl be?
I mean, I don't dislike Vidya Balan. Like, that was...
See, she's too seasoned, though, because I've seen her be a detective so many times.
Okay.
You need someone who... There's a lot of people who play rich rich ingenues in Bollywood movies, but someone who's a little bit older, maybe he would work with
Katrina. Maybe Sanya Malhotra? Is she too young?
Sanya Malhotra would be good. If you want to play with the gender roles a little bit, Sonakshi Sinha might be good.
Yeah.
And, like, she's the tough one. That could be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's lots of ways you could play with it, but it's a classic idea for a movie.
That's
why they made five of them.
Listeners, please send us your fantasy casting for The Thin Man. Also, if you've never seen The Thin Man, it's one of mine and Matt's all-time favorite movies. It's delightful. Highly
Stick
recommend.
With it. Okay, so like the first 10 minutes of the movie, you're going to be like, this is boring. I hate you. But as soon as William Powell and Myrna Loy show up, the Thin Man is actually some other guy. He's bad. They gotta find him. They eventually just retcon the name to it being William Powell because no one understood what the title meant.
Yeah.
Once they show up, you'll be like, ah, I see why they like this movie now.
Yeah, yeah. It's just about it's about a married couple who are very much in love and they really like to drink. They have a dog and they like to solve mysteries. It's kind of perfection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did a really good job of staying on topic. But I am genuinely curious on people's fantasy casting for the Bollywood remake.
And Murder Mubarak, I don't know.
Like I said, I wouldn't hesitate to recommend it to people. Like,
this is also way more violent than I was expecting, too. There's a bit of gore. Someone gets shot in the face. And that's pretty violent. And something bad happens to a cat that I didn't appreciate.
It's not to the level that... This feels a bit more balanced. It's not to the level that we get in Byom Kesh Bakshi.
And the music was inessential.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like Dimple Kapadia's costuming. Really like
she should play an eccentric old lady all the time.
Her big glasses.
But she was also good as a gangster.
Yeah.
She's always good. That's maybe in the Bollywood version of The Thin Man, she's the Nora Charles, she's the Nick.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a younger hot guy is the Nora.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you spin it for the modern era.
And like I said, like Sanjay Kapoor is kind of becoming... It's becoming a bit of a fave of mine.
He's kind of one of our guys, yeah.
Yeah, he's also in Merry Christmas, another murder mystery that's come out this year.
Another sleazy jerk-off guy, too, in that one, is that what I
call? I'm sure we'll be discussing at some point. But yeah, I think he's just got a lot of presence.
And there's a lot of great roles written that he's, like, super suited to.
Yeah. Yeah, we should at some point watch the big romantic hit that I did, the Madhuri Dixit, that we almost did for Madhuri Madness this year, but didn't. But it'd be interesting to see him in that kind of role.
As a lead?
Yeah, opposite Madhuri Dixit. Anyways, so in short, Matt's not going to let me do any detective or murder mystery films for a while because...
You're going to say mystery films. Like, I would happily solve an actual murder if that's what we ended up doing. But, yeah, I've seen a lot of movies lately.
Yeah, you're not going to let us return to this well on the podcast anytime soon just because we've maybe exhausted what we can say about these films.
For recent ones,
and
yeah.
And in this genre. Well, I mean, we haven't talked about Merry Christmas yet, but we will during our mid-year wrap-up, but we've probably exhausted what we can say about this genre for a while, so thank you for sticking with us to this point. So with that being said, we are not going to be discussing anything detective or mystery related.
I mean, someone next, might get murdered in these, we don't know.
Next episode, what are we going to be doing in a couple weeks, Matt?
We're watching movies about singers, so there's that new Diljit Dosanjh picture that's coming out, and mm-hmm. we're going to meet him.
yes, we. He's coming to town, so we are going to go see him live.
Yeah, so that's Tom Keela, I believe.
Yeah.
And Kala, which I believe came out last year, and it was about a sitar player.
I think it was a couple years ago, yeah.
And that was really well received. Yeah. I don't remember why we didn't see it, but it was a Netflix picture, I think. And yeah. It was, like, people really liked that one, so I was looking forward to seeing it.
They're both on Netflix. So that is Kala and Amara Singh Chamkila, which is an MTL Ali film. And I know...
Mixed results with that director.
Yeah, and I know Chamkila is beloved. He's a beloved Punjabi musician. We know a lot of people in Rio, like, a lot of our friends... in real life are big fans of him. So
oh, and Parineeti Chopra's in this movie. Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm hearing mixed things about that one, but we heard some very good things about Kala. So yeah. In the meantime, Matt, how can people keep up with the show?
Facebook.com/Bollywoodistlovers, at Bollywood Pod on Twitter. You're on Twitter.
Yes, I'm at Erin E. Fraser, ErinEFraser. If you're a fan of the show, please consider leaving us a star rating and a review on your podcatcher of choice, and then let us know when you can collect your Biffle points.
You know what you should do? You should join Letterboxd and find my big list of every movie we've watched.
Yeah.
Because I think there's like almost 550 movies on there.
Yeah.
And I've rated them all. It would be pretty interesting for other people to chime in and see what they thought about some of this stuff.
Yeah.
You could sort it by... your own star value and see what you compare to us on. Could mm-hmm. be interesting. Friend us on there. I'm on there.
Yeah. You can also subscribe to my other show that I do with Paul Matwichuk called Trash Art and the Movies. We are currently doing an episode about Diane Keaton. So that should be fun. And we want to thank Becca Dahlke for our artwork. And yeah.
If I die, tell Tuffy to find my killer.
Okay. Well, I mean, you will be writing out their name in blood, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I will be.
Yeah.
Or at least something cryptic that is killer adjacent.